Welcome to the Happiness Happens podcast, your place for all things happiness. I'm Simona Costantini, host of the show, and I'm so excited and grateful to be on here with you today. In case we haven't met yet, I'm a corporate dropout turned life coach and podcast producer, and I now run a six-figure podcast production agency out of my home. The Happiness Happens podcast is your weekly dose of motivation and inspiration to have a more fulfilling day every day. I've been having conversations about happiness with thought leaders in the industry for more than 3 years, and each week I bring on incredible guests to understand what happiness means to them and tangible ways to transform our mindset and ultimately our lives. I know you're going to learn something valuable today. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and join me for this amazing conversation. This is episode 176 on the Happiness Happens podcast. My guest today is going to absolutely blow your mind. Her name is Sandra Chuma, and our conversation left me feeling just honestly all kinds of ways. She's an entrepreneur, a speaker, coach, podcast host, and award-winning documentary filmmaker. She's the founder and chief creative officer of Worthy, which is a platform focused on helping women stop procrastinating on their dreams and take confident action towards creating a life that they love without overwhelm. As you'll hear in our conversation, Sandra was raised in a tiny mud hut in Zimbabwe with no running water or electricity. Her mindset, resilience, and perspective on life and worthiness is truly something that left me in awe and so inspired. You're going to love this conversation today because we're talking about what it means to feel worthy, how to find true happiness within yourself, what do we do when we're feeling unworthy, how do we navigate the different stories that we tell ourselves in our minds, and we talk about so much more. This is the conversation I know my soul needs right now, needed in this moment, and I know it's going to be so beneficial for you to listen to as well. Be sure to subscribe for more, and I will see you in the episode. Let's get to it. Sandra, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you today.
I am so happy to be here, and I'm excited to have this conversation. When you asked me, and I was like, absolutely, how could I not want to be on this podcast?
I love that so much. I appreciate you saying that. This podcast is like my baby, so it's my passion project. So it's nice. I get to interview incredible people like yourself, and I'm really excited for this conversation. So I want to dive in. We're going to go into all kinds of different areas today, but I really want to start first, and I start out all the interviews like this. I want to know, what does happiness mean to you?
Oh, the big question. What is happiness? Because isn't that what everybody's like, I want to be happy. You know what? It's taken me a while, and maybe my definition will change over time. But for me, it is being my most authentic self. It is living a life where I feel like I'm living into my potential. And it is truly living a life where I feel, for me, I have five criteria that for me is what happiness is. I'm living a life of passion where I feel like I'm really, truly living the life of everything that I want to do and all of the things. I'm living a life of joy. Every single day I want to have joy. I'm living a life that's fulfilled where I feel fulfilled, but I also feel like I am fulfilling my purpose here on earth. I'm living a life where I feel alive, where I truly wake up and I'm excited about everything that's going on. And for me as well, happiness is about being grateful. It's about gratitude.
Those are beautiful. I love that. Now, is that something that you just kind of realized over the years and kind of like put together? Or is it something that, you know, it sounds like it's something you live by every single day?
You know what? This actually stemmed from my husband lovingly refers to this period in my life as my midlife crisis, but kind of when I was coming up to 40, I really had this big like realization. On paper, I looked amazing. You know, I checked all the boxes, all of the things that had been dreams for me, I'd achieved them. You know, I'd built an 8-figure business, I lived in my dream house, drove my dream car, went on vacation, all the things. And this was huge for me because I come from a background where I literally was born and raised in a mud hut with no running water, no electricity. So I thought that, oh, if I could just have these material things, then I'd be happy. And so I spent so much of my 20s and 30s chasing achievement and chasing the next milestone and chasing and never feeling like I was happy. And so it was really kind of, you know, I guess you have these moments of, you know, crisis, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it, that really forced you to question what actually means something in your life. And for me, it was coming up to 40. And how I came to those five things, it wasn't like I just sat down and thought about it. I actually did. There's a beautiful Canadian woman who I absolutely love. Her name is Danielle Laporte. And she had this program. That was my first introduction. She had this program that was called, and now I'm blanking on the name of Danielle's program. How can I not remember it?
It's something about dreams, isn't it? Because I've read her book.
Oh my gosh, how can I not? I have it on my bookshelf somewhere and now I cannot. But anyway, her program, I went through her program and it'll come to me. I can literally see the cover. But her program took you through these exercises where this was the very first time I'd ever heard somebody say that what we look for, our goals, our dreams, are never about the thing itself. It's about the feeling that we think having the house, the car, the money, the whatever will give you. And so for her, it's called the desire map. I was like, how can I not remember?
Yes.
It's called the desire map. And so she had this process that you went through, which really spoke to what are the feelings that you desire, right? Not the things, but the feelings. And so that was how I came to the list. It's evolved over time and I've put things on and put things on. But since I probably did it, gosh, when I think it was probably a good more than 10 years ago that I did it. And it's still every year I come back to it and I might take something off, add something on, but I come back to those are the main feelings. That's how I came to figuring that out.
That's honestly incredible. And I was actually gifted her book that takes you through that. I guess like it's a book and I'm guessing maybe it's a program as well, but it was called The Desire Map. And I was gifted it, oh my gosh, I want to say in 2020. Yeah, I was gifted it in 2020 and it took me, and I was gifted it by an amazing friend. Oh, she is just wonderful. And it took me an entire year to even open it up because I didn't want to do it wrong. You know what I mean? And it's interesting because you can't do it wrong, you know, but it's very like freeing to hear you talk about how you actually go back and just sort of keep what sticks and like leave the rest because it doesn't have to stay what it was.
You know, and that's such, oh my gosh, you just said, you hit on something so powerful because I think sometimes that's what stops us. It's the thing that stops us going after what we want because we're afraid to take the step because it might be the quote unquote wrong step. And so we stay stuck because it's like, I can't take a step until, you know, I know absolutely all the other steps. I can't start to build my business unless I know everything about how it's going to all play out. And so we stay stuck. And that used to be me. Actually, for me, it used to be, this is the most ridiculous thing. I love journals and I used to buy journals. And then every new year I'd have this pristine journal, but I didn't want to mess it up. And so I'm like,
yes,
I didn't want to. And then it'd be like, okay, I have to have my best handwriting and I have to be sitting down. Like this whole thing where it's like, oh my gosh, if I would just write, just start. And I think sometimes that's what stops us is we're wanting it to be perfect and we're not going to take the first step until it's perfect. And that's been one of the most freeing things for me has been like, it's okay if you mess up the journal. It's what, $20, $30? I can buy another one. But it was such a mindset that I literally had to overcome. It was like, I can't mess it up. And I'm glad that you did it. And that's, for me, one of the things too, is allowing myself to realize that there's no wrong choice. There's a choice and then you can choose again and you can choose something different the next time.
Absolutely. Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. It's so true. And it's exactly that piece of like why we don't start. And I think that it's really interesting to highlight that because I think there's so many reasons in life why we don't start things. You know what I mean? There's like a lot of different fears that get associated with that. And I know that a lot of your work, actually, I almost want to say like most of it is rooted in this feeling of worthiness, right? Let me know if I've got that wrong, but from meeting you and from reading all about you, it feels like that is just so important. And I want to know what worthiness means to you, and then diving into a little bit more about that.
You know, for me, worthiness means, and this is a realization that, again, kind of like the happiness, I had to come to. I used to feel like for me to be worthy, I had to do something. There had to be some action, some money, something that I had to do to have that feeling. And so I was always chasing that feeling of not being good enough. And for me as well, I think for a long time, I associated worthiness with perfection, that it had to be perfect, that if I was going to do something that was worthy of my time, it had to be something that I could do perfectly. And so I counted myself out of so many things because I couldn't be the best at it and I couldn't do it perfectly. And for me, worthy has really become a realization that anything that you want to do, to be, to have, I'm worthy. The fact that I have that desire means that it is possible for me, means that I am worthy of having or doing or being that thing. There is a reason that desire has been given to me. And it's got nothing to do with you have to deserve it or work for it. You are worthy by virtue of you wanting it. And then, of course, we live in a 3D world where there has to be some action of some sort for you to then get the thing. But the fact that you have the desire means you can have it. To expand on that a little bit, why worthy? Please. First of all, it was something I struggled with, as I said. But then as I started down my path of, you know, stepping into personal development, stepping into coaching, and in particular coaching women, I feel like this is something that us as women struggle with in particular. The number of women who are stopping themselves from having their version of an extraordinary life because they didn't feel deserving, they didn't feel worthy, was mind-blowing to me. That literally, the reason people weren't going after their dreams wasn't because of anything external, wasn't because the biggest barrier was themselves, because they didn't see themselves as being worthy of being deserving of having whatever it was. And so that was really the birth of my brand, which is called Worthy. And then it also for me was like, okay, great. It's wonderful for me to tell people you can be, do, have whatever you want. But how do I actually start to give people the tools, the information? How do I share that in a way that gives them the steps to stepping into their worthiness and then being able to achieve? And so worthy in my world is the word, the fact that you are worthy, but it's also an acronym for six pillars that I really focus on teaching, and that really are the foundation of all of the coaching and all of the mentorship that I do in the brand.
Oh, that is amazing. Could you share the acronym with us, just a highlight like level of what it means?
Absolutely, I'd love to. So the W is all about having a strong why. Because all too often, people don't actually know why they're doing what they're doing or why they want what they want. So kind of like we talked about a little bit earlier about how often we think that the goal is I want the money and the car and the house. And then we get the thing and then we still feel empty. So it's about really anchoring into the why. Why do you want what you want? Because also when you have a strong why, it'll carry you. I think it's, what's the beautiful book by,
Simon Sinek.
Simon Sinek.
Him too.
Simon Sinek too says a great thing. He's a why is my mind like mush today? But he's a gentleman who was in a concentration camp, and he wrote a beautiful book where he talks about how if you have a strong enough why, that the people who survived in the concentration camps were the people who had a reason to live. And so really connecting with your why. So the W is all about having a strong connection to your why, and how do you do that, and what is it? And for many people as well, while we're chasing other people's dreams, and it's very hard. People say to me, oh, I can't stay connected to my dreams, or I can't stay committed, or I don't have motivation. And oftentimes it's because we're chasing dreams that aren't ours. So it's really, how do you define what your desire is? What is your heart's desire? So that's the W. Then the O is all about owning the day. So many of us have great intentions, right? We want to do this, I want to do that. but we're not intentional about how we go through our day, how we spend our time. And those minutes that go by is time that we're not working on whatever it is that's going to move us closer to our goals. So part of what I studied and I'm certified in is productivity, right? I did something called the 12-week year, and it's really, how do we maximize our time? What are the things that we need to say yes to? What are things we need to say no to? And how do we do that? So the O is all about own your day. The R is something that I had to learn the hard way, and R in my world is about rest, and it's about reflection. And why do I say I had to learn it the hard way? Because I crashed and burned. You know, as I said, I built this very quickly company that became very successful, and I was constantly chasing and chasing and chasing the next thing and the next thing. And for me, rest was an inconvenience. It was like, I don't have time for this. And so I had to learn, when my body literally crashed and burned, ended up being diagnosed with adrenal fatigue, that rest is an important part of productivity, that rest is a strategy, and also reflection. You know, oftentimes for me, I was just going and going and not really reflecting on what I had achieved, what I had done, what are the things that had worked, what are the things that hadn't worked, and why. That space of reflection, and then allowing that to be the source of inspiration to move forward. So in the brand, the R is all about rest and reflection. The T is all about tracking. And this is that whole GPS thing. For me, I call it your goal progress system. Because how do you know whether you're making progress, whether you're not making progress, unless you're tracking? But for many people, they will say, oh my gosh, you know, I find tracking triggering. And the reason we do find tracking triggering is because of what we make it mean. And so it's really helping people understand that tracking isn't about having a tool or a stick to beat yourself up with because you didn't achieve, because you didn't achieve. It's really about putting in place mechanisms to tell you, are you going in the right direction? Are you not going in the right direction? Okay, what do you need to adjust? So T is all about tracking. The H is about habits, because what I have learned is everything you have, everything you don't have in your life is because of your habits. It's because of the things that you do every single day subconsciously without thinking about it. So I actually got certified in habits. My mentor is a gentleman named BJ Fogg, who wrote Tiny Habits. And he's been studying habits and behavior for more than 25 years. He's the head of the Behavior Research Institute at Stanford University. So he's very well versed in this. And so that really helped me understand the importance of, it's great, as I said, to have great intentions. How do we get intentional? And then how do we create habits that support us in moving towards our goals? And then the why in the brand is all about you. You as the person. One of my mentors said to me when I started coaching with him, he said, you will only ever be as good as the being who is doing the doing. You'll only ever be as good as the being who's doing the doing. So you can have all of the strategies, you can go to all of the masterminds, you can have all of the things. But if you don't feel worthy, if you don't feel self-love, if you aren't disciplined, if you aren't focused, if you don't have boundaries, all of that means nothing. So it's really the why in my brand is where we really focus on going deep on who do you need to be the kind of person who would create the extraordinary life that you so richly deserve to have.
I could listen to you talk all day. You have such an amazing way of speaking and explaining things. And, you know, when you and I first met, first of all, let me backtrack for a second. I love that acronym, and I love that each of the pillars has its own purpose and has its own piece of the puzzle. I think that's really important. And I think I love that you just developed this, and it's something that other people get to live by and get to learn. I think that's so incredible. Like, what a beautiful gift for people to be able to learn that. It's amazing. And what keeps, you know, coming to me right now is, you know, you and I met through a mastermind that I was in that you were a guest speaker in. And I have a very short attention span, okay? And I was hooked on every single word you were saying the whole time. I was like, oh my God. I was like, who is Sandra? I was like, Sandra needs to come on my podcast. Like, we need to have a conversation. But what is so mind-blowing to me is when you were speaking in that mastermind, and you did mention it a little bit here as well, you know, you grew up in a mud hut. And so the fact that I could only imagine back when you were in that situation back then, you could have only imagined what your life would be like, what it was like today, right?
My life, I am struggling to find the words, you know. I don't remember whether when I spoke at your mastermind, I talked about my grandmother. And other than my parents were so influential in me growing up. But the other two people who were so influential were my two grandmothers, neither of whom ever went to school, didn't have an education. My maternal grandmother, she worked as a housemaid all of her life in a neighborhood which was a whites only neighborhood, and they both spoke in different ways to me about what was possible, a possible that they couldn't possibly have even imagined for themselves. It was so far removed. But they were the first who really spoke into me possibility. Because growing up, my grandmothers would say, one day you're going to go to school. So it just became kind of like, one day I'm going to go to school. And one day I'm going to go overseas. And one day I'm going to... But even as I sit here today, it is the one, if I could, you know, wave a magic wand, it would be, I wish my grandmothers could be here to see me and to see my life, not from a, oh, let me show off to you, but from a place of, how is this even possible that this is the life? They couldn't have imagined the life that I live. And I say that as well, because I wanna, oftentimes, when we see other people achieve things, we other them. Right? We think that they have something special, something different. They came down from wherever with an extra sprinkling of fairy dust. And I truly hope that when people see me and hear my story, they hear possibility. Because I'm just a girl who is from a rural area in Zimbabwe who grew up in a mud hut with no running water and no electricity. And so if this is possible for me to live the life that I live now, anything is possible for anybody who has a dream. Like, anything is truly possible. And I truly believe that. And so I really hope when people hear my story, for many people, it's not going to resonate that living in a mud hut, they have no idea what that is. But what I hope people hear when they hear my story is possibility, that if you have a dream, you can achieve it.
That's amazing. And, you know, when you're saying that, I kept thinking to myself, like, you know, maybe your grandma, and I think it depends what everybody believes in life, of course, but I believe that the people we love do get to actually see all of the things that are happening for us. Maybe not in the way that we would have wanted, but I also believe that those guiding forces in our life are what also guide us throughout our life, even from the afterlife, if that makes any sense. And not everyone believes that. So if you're listening to this right now and you're like, hey, Simona, you've lost it, like you're off your rocker. That's just what I believe.
No,
and
that you.
Hope, right?
I'm 100% with you. I truly do believe that they, you know, yes, they're not physically here, but I truly believe that in some way they continue to be a light on my path. They continue to, and even if, you know, you don't believe in the afterlife, that's all good. But for me, I truly believe that what they taught me, if nothing else, what they taught me continues to live on, because a huge part of what my grandmothers taught me, a huge part of what my father taught me, my father passed away 3 years ago in June. He always would say to me that, Sandra, your life and your success will never have meaning unless you bring other people with you. And that has become, for a long time, I ignored that. I just want to have nice shoes and live in a nice house. But I realized how empty that was, that, you know, we don't all have to be out there being Mother Teresa or, you know, trying to save the world. But how can you, in what you do, impact somebody else? You know, how can you, in what you do, be the best version of yourself, which inspires somebody else? And so that's something that I truly carry with me, and that, you know, as I said about my grandmothers and my father, that I truly believe continues to be a message that lives on in me that they left me with.
That's so beautiful. And then with that message living within you now gets to live on within other people and every single person who's listening to this podcast right now, just to name a few. Now, I want to sort of go down this road with you of faith for a second, because we were just talking about faith a little bit. And I want to know some ways where people can start to find that faith within themselves.
You know, one of the biggest things that we do when we don't, when keep our word to ourselves, self-integrity, I think, is one of the most critical when it comes to building faith within ourselves. It's, what does your word mean? Right? So often we spend so much of our time, our effort, our energy, you know, meeting our commitments to other people. You know, we will, if you're like, I would literally walk over hot coals if I told my friend I was going to do something. But would I walk over hot coals to keep my word to myself? So I think that's often the beginning. The reason we don't have faith in ourselves is because we break our word to ourselves. And so we erode our self-trust, which in the process, we erode our self-esteem, we erode our self-worth, and then we don't feel self-love. So I feel like if there's one way that we can start to rebuild that trust, that faith within ourselves, it's honoring our word to ourselves, making it so that your word to yourself is worth it, it is an unbreakable standard. When we can start to do that, and it's through small things, you know, oftentimes people are looking for big things, big solutions to the problem. It's little things. If I say I'm gonna wake up tomorrow at 6 a.m. when the alarm goes off, do I wake up at 6 a.m.? Because if you think about just that, in that split moment alarm goes off and you've got to make that decision about, do I press snooze? Do I get up? But it's cold. But in that moment, you're telling your subconscious who you are, what your identity is. Am I someone who keeps my word to myself? And so it's really in those small moments. If I say I'm going to do something, do I do it? If I say I'm going to exercise, whatever the thing is. And it's not starting with the big promises. What little thing can I get to the end of today and say, I promised myself I would do this, these two things, or one thing that I said I'd do today, did I keep my word? Because then your brain's like, oh, she said she was going to do this, she did. Okay, so it starts to rebuild that self-trust that we've eroded. So I'd say that's the very first step to rebuilding that faith. That self-belief comes from us being in integrity with ourselves and our word, especially to ourselves. You know, one of my favorite books, and I am going to remember the title, is The Four Agreements.
And, oh, such a good one.
And if you think about those four agreements are so simple, and yet they are life, right? And one of the agreements is be impeccable with your word. And I think that often we're thinking about being impeccable with our word to other people. Be impeccable with your word to yourself. I think that's the beginning of creating that faith, that self-belief.
Oh, that is so true. And it's a very powerful mindset shift right there. Like, I can think a million times, pretty much every single day my alarm goes off and I'm like, 20 more minutes. Almost every single day. But then what happens when that 20 minutes, you know, I still want to do my workout. I still want to hop on, you know, my Peloton. I still want to go for a ride. I still want to walk my dog and I still want to get ready for the day. And then what? Now I'm sitting at my computer and I'm so delayed in my day, in quotations, because truly, like, you make your day whatever you want it. But when you have a bunch of things that you want to do, like, sometimes there are timelines that you need to stick to in your day. I'm a service provider. I have a lot of timelines I have to stick to in my day. And so it's interesting you saying that, because a lot of the times, like, I know for myself, everyone else is a priority over myself all the time. You know what I mean? And so that's a really good mindset shift. It's just that small promise that you make to yourself that you don't just choose not to break.
Yeah. And as I said, because oftentimes as well, we set ourselves up for failure because we want to, I'm going to do these 50 things. Just one. Yeah. You know, there's a wonderful video by a gentleman named Admiral McRaven about make your bed. And if you watch that, like, I highly encourage, if you can find it on YouTube. He talks about the power of just that one simple thing, getting up and making your bed. And for you, it might not be making your bed. It might be getting out of bed. But what's that one thing where you start your day with a win. Because when we do that thing where we snooze and snooze and then we're feeling bad, but we're going to snooze, we're waking up already feeling bad. We're waking up on the back mm-hmm. foot. So the rest of your day is kind of going to go the same way. So if you can figure out how can I set myself up, especially in the morning, to start my morning in a place, in a mindset where I feel like I've had a win, where I feel powerful. And it's not as well, because, you know, we hear so much nowadays about the morning routines and you got to get up at four yeah. in the morning and drink baby tears and then blah, blah, like all of the things. It's not about that. I truly do not agree with the premise that, you know, the early bird catches the worm. It's not about when you get up. It's about what you do when you are up. How are you using your time? Mm-hmm. And so if you're not a morning person, making yourself get up at 5 and 6 a.m. is just going to feel horrible. So great. Mm-hmm. You know that about yourself. I don't like getting up in the morning. So how do you compensate for that in the day? Or how do you set up your day in a way where it allows you to feel successful?
Oh, I love that so much. And you know what? It is so true. I prefer to work at night. I like working late at night. I mean, I could watch Netflix, I guess, but like sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. And you know, I just like to work at night. Like I'm the most creative at night. Like it's just how I've always been. And I don't like to wake up early. So most mornings, like when the alarm does go off at 6, I roll out of bed at 7 because I want to actually be out of bed at 7, right? And so it was actually funny. Like my dad was over the other day and we were talking about this and I was like, yeah, like, you know, like I usually wake up at like 7 o'clock or whatever. And he was so hilarious. He's like, 7 o'clock. And I was like, yeah, like I don't want to wake up. Like why do I need to wake up early? Like I have no obligations in the morning before pretty much 9 or 10 a.m. Like, what do I need to do? Why do I have to wake up so early? Anyways, I just love that. I think that's great.
Yeah, we've been fed this line, right? That for you to be successful, you have to be in the 5 a.m. club. Yeah. No, I know so many people who are successful who do not get up at 5 a.m., but it's about when they are up. And also, like you said, the awareness of I am my most creative at 8 o'clock at 9 p.m. So let me set up my day so that I have enough rest so that when 9 p.m. comes, I'm ready and wired and buzzing. It's about knowing yourself. It's you know, there's that quote from Shakespeare, "To thine own self be true." What's true for you? Just because everybody else is getting up at 5 doesn't mean you should get up at 5. What works for you?
I love that. That's a great reminder. Sandra, I could talk to you all day. I actually could talk to you all day. I want to ask you my last question. It's a question I've been asking on the podcast for 3 years now. Yeah, 3 years now. And it is one that I don't always get the same answer to. So I'm excited to hear what you're going to say. But it's, how can someone create a little more happiness in their day, every day, starting today?
I think that the biggest way that we can create happiness in our lives is for us to truly be living the life of our dreams and not other people's dreams. I also think that the biggest way to create happiness in your life is being true to yourself. You know, really recognizing that it's about what makes you happy, finding what makes you happy and not what makes other people happy. What is it that is truly your joy?
That's beautiful. Thank you, Sandra. Where can our listeners connect with you?
Thank you so much for having me. It's gone by so fast. I'm like, we're done? Oh my gosh.
I know.
I love this. And I love what you're doing. I truly do. But where can people find me? The best place to connect with me is probably Instagram because I'm there the most. And my handle is sandra.chuma. And you can also find me. My website is sandrachuma.com. And if you're looking for information on my brand Worthy, you can find that at iamworthy.com.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was such a pleasure.
Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in to this week's episode on the Happiness Happens podcast. Be sure to connect with us online. Let us know that you're listening and let us know what you loved from this episode. And until then, remember that happiness happens when you're least expecting it. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode. I learned so much and I hope you did too. Be sure to tag me on social media so that I know that you're listening too. If you love what you heard, please leave a rating and review. It would mean the absolute world to me. See you on the next one, and until then, remember that happiness happens when you're least expecting it.